Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Even surpassed Nathan's kind of Tinder type story from January 2019. I never forget it. It's still a paper. Like.
You actually remember the date. I'm not going to play the first part of that for the honour of one of the contributors, but if only you could hear that story. Right, we're on Red News Podcast 158, and it's been a while. I'll start with my usualness. I've got very smelly farts, so apologies. Luckily, there isn't smell-o vision or hearing on this. And I would say I don't mean to be glib. There's a lot to cover, but I do realise, and people might laugh at this, but I get a bit moody and down when I don't go United. So I've really missed it, and I'm also like growling and gurning away about the World Cup. So I feel a bit gutted. Obviously, I'm not going to take the mickey out of Prince Charles's medals for treason again, but everyone deals with things differently, and I'm never going to, you know, judge or knock someone, as they, I hope they wouldn't knock me. You know, I think everyone would say, remarkable lady. She was 96, fair play, that if we could all get to that age and do that. And I watched, the one thing I did watch was the Elizabeth, where they followed her for a year on BBC, which was quite revealing because it showed a character that we don't really see. But I was, and I think the overriding thing is there's grief. So you think about, when you hear the news, you think about the people you've lost and loved. I do think it goes a bit mad when companies then start seizing on it for PR and advertising purposes, which, and then it just gets a bit strange, because, you know, it's all very personal to the person. But I was having a blood test during it all, and there was this old lady, and actually felt like, should I go over and like give her a hug or something? And she said, oh, I'm very worried, to the blood technician. She said, I've lost my queen, and we've got a new prime minister, and I just feel really nervous about everything. And I thought to myself, other people might laugh, but I just thought to myself, never take the piss out of how anyone feels. But I did feel angry that Leeds was off. I think the Premier League fucked it with Palace, as ever. They don't wait and see a reaction. They just go head first and leap in. We've got to announce something first off. And my thing for Leeds is separate to what, you know, oh, there might have been a bit of trouble. You know, come on, we're a grown-up nation. Well, I did think that until the last few months and years. But it was that the police can't cope. The police can't handle two situations or three things to deal with. And that's more on the cuts that they've had. But if we can't play football, and it just pissed me off that Spurs played, you know, you could play all these games, and if they can't set that, they can't spare a couple of hundred coppers, that says not about the event itself, but more. So I just hold my hands up and say, I just miss football, sad or not, and I wanted to see it, and my mood. And I've watched the Wrexham documentary, which I thought has been quite fun, and it shows the overriding thing for a community, what football is for its local community and for local people, and how much it matters and how much it means. And I'm a bit, the World Cup, and we haven't seen them for a month. And I think we'll lose 3-1 on Sunday, and the big lanky streak of piss is going to score. But overall, it's made me, in my moments of thinking about United, I feel sorry for Maguire. Look, he tries, whether it's his level, I think, you know, the abuse he's getting, it just goes a bit off the scale. Like, you know, like, why kick a man when he's down? Whether he now is not salvageable to get any kind of run up for United. But I just think he's better than that. And I don't, and maybe it was all too much. And the people around him, yes, they have a thing. Maybe it was all too much. Gets the England captaincy, United captaincy. That's not his level. But it certainly wasn't what he was. But I watched, bizarrely, the highlights of Southampton a few weeks back. And two things made me think. Martinez, when De Gea made the save and he grabs him, and I thought, there's an actual leader, and there's what Maguire hasn't been showing. And also, I thought Eriksen's been showing his class. So anyway, who shall I go to first? Shane, Nathan, Nick and Coggy. Hello, Coggy.
Hi, lads. How you doing?
All right, I think.
Good. I mean, I feel sorry for England fans, really, having to watch Shaw and Maguire. You know, they can't get in the United team, but for some reason they're being picked by England. So I don't think that bodes well for the World Cup, whenever it may be. Like yourself, miss the football. I think the The Leeds postponement was ridiculous. They should have brought in more army to cope with what was going on in London so that local police forces could police. And it's not just football games that was obviously affected. I mean, you know, just general policing, in areas was obviously affected too. So I just thought that was absolutely ridiculous. But apart from that, I'm personally all good. Watched the Arsenal game online, overlooking this bay in Southern Ireland, and it was really good.
It feels so long ago that I forgot to mention Nathan and Nick's pondering just nothingness that appeared in the pub after. I left it in just because I actually thought they'd be saying either mass piss taking of us all, or they'd be saying things of substance, not just random bits of Tourette's like, oh, Kanchelskis was quite good, and then silence. But I would say, I'll go to Shane, that, you know, podcasts, people love them these days, and I hope people like what we do. Please support the Mag. I'll come to that later. But I see that there's podcasts being solving murders, you know, freeing prisoners now. And I thought our podcast has basically said we hate pigeons and don't go to pantomimes. That'll be on our tombstone. Did you free any prisoners? No. Hello, Shane.
Yeah, I can only echo. It's annoying to like miss football because we enjoy going, obviously, stating the obvious. But it's also really, it's like a double whammy for me because we just hit that bit of form and it felt like I know you've covered it in previous podcasts, but, you know, from the Liverpool game, where for odd reasons I was a bit giddy beforehand and thought we might get something out of it. Like, I went to Southampton and it wasn't a scabby win, but it was a backs to the wall, like, fighting kind of win. And I was there, and I just sort of turned to my lad and sort of said, what's amazed me, it's not the result as such, it's the fact that I'm standing at a game of football and it looks to me like we're just not going to concede here. There's just like a fight in the team, there's some resilience and all this kind of camaraderie just gave you like a sense of a bit more stability and a bit more resilience, that kind of mental resilience that we haven't seen for a couple of years that we all always cite. And it was just a shame that just as we were building that run, had a good result at Leicester, you know, it kind of all of a sudden, you know, the great result against Arsenal obviously was a biggie, and all of a sudden, you know, we kind of like, that's taken away from us, you know. Obviously we've got we had the game in Moldova which was good in the sense of getting some momentum continuing, but yeah, it's a bit of a shame and it's very frustrating. And I think, as you said at the start, Barney, I don't think any game should have been cancelled, but let's say you accept one of them's going to be cancelled. The weekend of the Palace game was just like ridiculous. And then to have a game cancelled in Manchester but still have Premier League games in London is just very, like, all right, I get the risk categories and all that kind of stuff, but it's very non-intuitive, isn't it? It's like, how do you explain that? So it is annoying. And it compounds things as a supporters, because that means now we've got two midweeks, you know, on top of a season that's already upside down, one of which is at home. We've got the like minimum attendances for concessions and all that. I won't rant about those again, but it just compounds it. And so like the issue's been compounded with attendance, and then we get a fucking attendance email this week like, oh, well done, you've been three times. Well, fucking no shit show. Like, I do know that because I was actually there.
Well, fuck's sake. I thought on a Wednesday night, oh, it's United, what are they warning me about now, what is the threat coming now? And I just thought, we're in October. Stop telling us our game quota. You know, nearly in October. It's like, why does everything have to feel like they're watching us, Big Brother?
I do have to counter this as a coward. If anyone from the ticket office is listening, I think you're wonderful because I actually got Chelsea wearing a ballot today. So you, I'm like, that's a massive.
You've not seen us. You were away at the start of the season, Shane. So you've not seen us lose. So that aberration didn't happen in your world.
It's great. Yeah, I don't know what the problem is. I always have faith. So I'm letting you in a little secret before. Like, I actually forgot. I'm going away early in the morning. Oddly, like, football resumes, and I booked a weekend away with my wife. So I like booked months ago. So that's timed badly. But I was kind of like, because of the run around with work, I forgot to do my Chelsea application. So I was actually sat on the bog this morning at like 7 o'clock, and randomly it came into my mind that it was Chelsea ballot, so I quickly applied and I got in the ballot. So that's going to be my new tactic now. A bit like Paul Ince last out the tunnel, shirt off, I'm going to be sat in the bog with my skidies around my ankles. And that's a picture. So every time there's a ballot, you think of me at 7 a.m. Shirt off, pants down.
No, thanks, Shane. Before I go to Nathan, I will say it was, I think it was Nick who went as a throwaway in that nothingness. We can dance off to Budapest in the baths. And Nathan either deliberately, willfully ignored it, or there was just stunned. And I thought it brought me back memories. When I said, when I was a youngster on the way, Kisbet Honved went to the Budapest baths, you know, you do that sort of thing. And there was more hair than a Ron Jeremy convention. And it was deeply disturbing. So if we get to Budapest, I'm not going to the baths with lots of 50-year-old men. And the hair is just unsightly. It did make me think, I don't know if this has done Mighty Eric the world of good, that it's allowed him a couple of weeks of calm to, you know, get to know more about Old Trafford. I do hear that Ethos is continually work hard, but he's doing well in, he's going around meeting normal staffers, and the impressions are really good, that he's being kind. And now, granted, they usually are at the start of any new manager at United, but people are saying the right things. So has it done him the world of good, or are we going into Sunday? And I'm expecting a kick in the bollocks. I just wonder if it's just a rhythm that we were in form, and then it's taken away. Hello, Nathan.
Hello. I agree. And I think, obviously, it's a shame that, like everyone said, that we didn't get to have those games. But it's one of them, isn't it? Like, everyone's been disjointed. Like, we're all in the same boat. Like, I know that we missed two, but quite a few teams have. And, City only missed one, didn't they? But like you say, we were building momentum. Like, none of the, like, it felt like it's, we weren't winning convincingly, were we? We've been, you know, scraping, and like we've not smashed anyone yet, but it was like we're building, and like you say, it's that's gone now. But I don't know, I think it's a shame that, I think the added thing is the fact that it was an international break as well, because it's not like everyone's just been together for the last like 3 weeks, like being drilling. Everyone's been here, there and everywhere for the last week or so, haven't they? So it's just, God knows what's going to happen. If we're just talking about the game coming up, I don't know what's, generally anything could happen on Sunday, yeah. But I don't know, it's hard because everyone's been in the same boat, I think, haven't they? It's not like it was just been all.
Well, the one thing it cannot be worse than that debacle under Ralph. You know, fuck me. I saw how much he got given, and Jesus Christ, the best thing ever, as he walks off into the sunset with fucking over 10 million. But it's like, we cannot have 8% possession in the last 20 minutes in a derby. It can't be that bad.
I've not got much hope, but I think this season, we went into the season, didn't we? Like, before we were really shit, and before we've come back into it a bit, just saying we should have no expectations. And obviously, I would absolutely love to win on Sunday. But if we don't, it's not the end of the world, because we know that this season, realistically, we're not going to win the league. I'd love to beat City. I'd love to, you know, it. But as long as we don't get humiliated, if we win all the other games that we weren't winning over the last few years...
Well,
I'll take it. You know, that might sound stupid. No, it doesn't. I'll accept losing to City, but we can't suddenly go, oh no, it's back to square one. When, you know, as long as we don't get absolutely humiliated.
Yeah. Then, well, we can. We surprised with Jose, you know, Ollie. But it's more like we've got a mad run now of October, and I still maintain, I might argue with Nick, that I still think it will be slightly better, so I'm dampening my expectations. I still think we'll get a lot of kick in the bollocks, but it'll be better as we grow. But it might even compound.
That's what I mean.
Go to Everton and win. You know, go to Everton and win. And obviously, I want to win Sunday. I will say a couple of things. Delo, what football is, you know, confidence and playing regularly. Like Nani, we had that for about 18 months. Delow, I still think he's a liability, and I know people will disagree with that now. But with his confidence, he suddenly goes on international duty and he's full of beans. And what I liked about Malacia is he did an interview where he said, which we said afterwards, Saka had him for about 20 minutes and he said, I just thought, what do? I revert to basics in the game. And I thought, God fucking hell, a left back thinking intelligently about football. What is this? Hello, Nick.
I am a left back thinking without Jose's brain as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I have actually quite enjoyed the no football a little bit, just to be a bit different. It's not really bothered me. I've not thought about it at all. It's been nice to be a bit of a break from United. I was a little bit sceptical after the Sociedad performance because I just thought it was a bit of a whimper. And I know there was a little bit of rotation in there as well, but there was still enough players out there. This squad's still not good enough, and we've only got this core 11 that seems to have put a string of results together. So I was a little bit hesitant about it, and I think that one to me showed that Ten Hag needs more time, but it's been sad to see that that's combined with an international break, really, rather than sort of having a real time to sit down with the players. I mean, I think you look at Sancho and Rashford, it's great that they've both not gone, and hopefully they can try and find out that, you know, what this system's going to be a little bit more about, because if you're going to win at places like City, those two have got to be two of your key players on the pitch, not just in terms of creative, but they've got to get up and down the wings. So players like them having a big rest, they really need to step up on Sunday, I really think. You know, you look back to when we were winning there under Ole, and we got a couple of wins there. You know, players like Dan James played, and he might not be the best player, but he'll get up and down, shifting, and, you know, and make it difficult. Even Martial added to turn up for some of those games. But it's like, this is the thing. So I think it's kind of a good thing, really, in a way, that a couple of them have been left behind for. It's just a shame it's been international break. But I've not minded the no games, really. It's not overly bothered me, and I'm hoping that it's going to give Ten Hag that time, as you say, figure more out about the club and, you know, the demands, the expectations, and a bit more about how we want things to be done. So I'm quietly buoyed. I bet big things of Sancho and Rashford.
It's nice to know you've missed us then, Nick. No, I mean, like, it's an odd season. It's already getting odder. So I've already had in my head all along, you know, like, we've got another six weeks off. And it was going back to that Wrexham documentary, what United's finances and Tone the Water, have more of this in the mag, have shown, you know, we might have tried to put a massive plaster and the signings look good, but we are in deep, let alone before the pound and the dollar, deep financial fucking plate juggling. So the Wrexham documentary showed the local community, you know, like, sometimes you forget about that, and, well, the club at that is. And I just think, I miss people, and I don't know, maybe I sound like I'm not particularly fond of it getting colder anyway, but I just, it hit me a lot harder because those two games were supposed to be on, that I took it, I was a bit moody, I'll be honest. I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I just miss seeing it. I was so up for Leeds, and like, it's taken away, and it's like, it's more going back to the police and going on a fucking angry rant. You know, you ain't going to get, if you get burgled, you ain't going to get fucking anyone turning up. So it just pissed me off to be, anyway, sorry, rant over.
The thing is, Barney, though, that Nick's not missed soccer because his proper football has been on, hasn't it? Didn't the season start over the pond?
I bet he's desperate, Coggy.
Eulogising about bloody Tom Brady.
Coggy, he's desperate to get it in, but he's actually going next week. And I will say, there's sicker members of the Sellers fraternity. It's a hurricane's hitting where he's going, and they've wished that Tom Brady will float off to sea to stop Nick seeing him in person. But let's not go there, please. Anyway, have a nice trip, Nick.
It'll be gone by then.
The one thing that would be hate of the week, I'm concerned because I want Nick to have a nice time. So I've been checking the news, and they fucking, CNN are interviewing storm chasers every hour. Imagine that. What do you do for a living? I'm a fucking storm chaser. What the fuck?
You know what's even funny about that, Barney? Because you mentioned it, that was going to be my hate of the week. I don't understand how you've got a little muffler for the podcast and I can't tell what you're saying on it when you do it, and they're stood in the middle of a fucking storm and I can hear that.
Don't say that.
What are they using? He's like, he's got his AirPods or whatever, and it's not even anything technical.
Well, that's because it's CNN and not Red News, Nick. I will, the one I'm going to end on a bit of Gary Neville transcript. I will say thanks, massive thanks. We were left with a hole. Me and Nathan and Nick were going to sell. So everyone who helped us sell out of this print mag, I will say we're coming up to keep getting told, you know, the print is going up again and again. Post, I think it's going to go up again, and that is costing us a phenomenal amount. I want to keep printing because I know the club know there's that twat who only sells, or there's those few twats who only sell 30 or 40 of a mag, but we're there in person and they can see us. So I want to keep in print. But if you enjoy the podcast, even if you, it basically we're asking for less than a pint every 2 months for a mag. We I know I keep saying it, but we are really, like, we're coming up to big things if prices keep busting, because it's everything else. You wouldn't believe, for the app we only get 25%, Apple take 50%, but we have to do it, and I'm a Luddite, so, you know, there's all these things. There's a cost of just ridiculous stuff that comes in, and you think, God almighty, you know. So if you enjoy it, you can still order the Gary Nevin 58 interview for PDF, and we'll have a mag out for Newcastle. And I wish I didn't have to keep saying this, but we really need your support. See, Voice of the Valley, the Charlton fanzine's going, you know, and they've gone up to a 5, and I don't want to do that. But if you can support it, and I know there's a lot of people who are going to be in positions that they can't, but if you have got a couple of quid spare, please. Right, can I have a hate of the week? It's, apart from Storm Chasers, it's that Anton Deck reservist, you know, he comes off the sub bench. Is it Dermot O'Leary?
The one. He's the person,
yeah? Yeah.
Is it not the bloke who does catchphrase? I can't remember his name.
No, that's the Roy Walker. No, that's not Roy Walker.
Steve,
Roy Walker's probably dead. Sorry, Roy.
No, there's a new one, isn't it? It's like Stephen Mulhern.
Yeah, he's the reservist of the reservist. But there's something about Dermot. I see him on like this morning on a Friday, and I think there's something about you. There's something. Right. Nathan?
Okay. What? My hate of the week?
Yeah. It's getting me nervous.
Okay. It's a bit of a long one, but... So, I got a ticket for Everton away through a lad that we know for next week, and they posted it out, and I forgot that they posted it to my old address. I'd not changed. So, a few... Like, for those who don't know, obviously, everyone... I got kicked. Basically, I've lived in a house share in Charlton for about 5 years, and a few months ago, basically, we all got kicked out because the guy who owns the house basically said, "Oh, we need to do a load of major work. We need you to leave." We all left, and then a few weeks ago, I went past, and there was people in the house, like new housemates in the house. So I thought at the time, I was like, "Should I just knock on and check and see what's what?" And then. But I thought that might be weird. So today, like, obviously, I went to get the ticket, got the ticket, and spoke to this lad, and I was like, I wasn't going to say anything. And he turned to me, and he was like, "What do you think about the landlord?" And I was like, right, something's happened. Basically, they said that they need to do all this major work at the back of the house to totally redo the house up, and that's why we had to leave. All bollocks. No work's been done. Basically, they've just kicked us all out so they can get these other lot in. So they're all paying like 60, 70 quid a month extra. And it's just like, bastards. Why are people bastards?
They are. My concern now is, have you got your Everton ticket, Nathan? Sorry.
I've got my Everton ticket. But I felt a bit sorry for this lad. Like we'd left this place a bit of a mess because we were like, well, we're being kicked out. Fuck them. Like, we're not tidying up. They all moved in. And it was left to state. These new people have moved in. Absolute mess. They're having to pay 60 quid, 70 quid a month extra. And it's just like, people are bastards, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, that's my hate. That, I don't often have a hate of the week, but I think it's a valid one.
That is.
It's that a house of people who've been there for 4 or 5 years, 6 years, have all been kicked out just so the
bastards,
landlord can make
bastards in general.
200 quid a month.
Bastards.
So he didn't even offer you the opportunity to pay extra?
Well, at the time, he said that we'll need to leave, but you could come back and we might charge you a bit more. But It's just, I don't know, it's just people with dicks, aren't they?
Shane, have you got one?
I got my ticket.
That was what I have. You got your Everton? Is it safe? Is it safe, Marathon Man? Sorry, right, Shane. You look ready, primed to go here.
Yeah, I did. Like, mine was like the Qatar World Cup, really. Because I think I haven't really taken much notice, but it started to get on my tits. This international break has got on my tits. It irritated me because it was like, as you said earlier, Nathan, it compounded the like no United despite. Storm Chaser Nick being happy to focus on the red zone and NFL in the absence. But I was like, yeah, international football annoyed me because of that. And then it's made me conscious of the World Cup, which I was trying to ignore. And then, like, I saw Denmark today with coming out with like a stance against Qatar, but it got like a fancy kit that's not got, you know, it's all in red and this kind of stuff. And I was thinking, you know, it's like, like, you either mean it or you don't. It's half-assed stuff. So it's like this kind of like this, like, either protest properly or fucking, you know, go along for the ride and not respect you doing that. I've got my opinion. So, yeah, that's my
I still feel, Shane, I hate it and I've hated it. You know, like, there's a lad who's done an article for the mag, but I feel a hypocrite because I know I'm going to watch it and what I should be doing is not watching it, you know. But isn't that the problem that we become, like, bystanders to it, you know, and not willful participants, but like almost, you know, I don't know, it just annoys, I annoy myself on many levels.
No, I get that I'm, you know, we all probably come stick with things, we're getting too heavy, but I just thought that, like, it's become a bit shallow now that people are making a stance on Twitter, but they're still going, you know, they're half-arsed basically. It's either you either in or out. I don't mean you watching on telly, Bunny, it's our job to go and cover it, or we don't support Qatar, so we've made this like fancy kit or whatever. It's just like I think either protest against it or just stay quiet.
Yeah, but it's like it becomes like, you know, people with Sky telling us, well, why did you go in against Liverpool? You know, like that. But that add on to it is, you know, like, anyway. So I'm on a waffle thing, Coggy.
Without getting it too heavy, and then your thing about this morning is, I think generally, I think Dermot O'Leary seems like a sound bloke to me, if I'm honest with you, and I'm not a great one for TV celebrities, as you know. But this morning, it gives me doubts because, like, and I don't like. In fairness, I think this like Q jumping thing's a bit out of proportion, but I think it's like, oh, that makes me a bit suspicious, but like. But Eamon Holmes was like, I know he's a red, but he's top of my like celebrity list at the moment. Like I don't like him. I'd like to, if I saw him at a game, I'd have to say something to him now. It's got to that level.
Well, the Philip and Holly thing, it just made me think. I've had people, you know, like elbow me out of the way for a 40p bread that's discounted. So it's like. People just lose all proportion. Hell, Coggy, have you got one or are you in your zen?
Yeah, well, I am in my zen, very much so. But just on Eamon Holmes, him and his wife got kicked off this morning, didn't they, last year or something like that. So he'd probably join in with the condemnation of the programme. My ace of the week, Brian, you're not going to like this, it is the Republican Eric Cantona tweeting about how sad he was that the Queen died. You know, and I just felt that was a bit false coming from Eric.
But the thing, he did a good interview, you know, really good. God, speak to us, Eric. But also he's doing Sports Direct, you know, have questionable things. So we're all, I suppose, a bit. But I have to, one bizarre offshoot tangent question, Shane. Eamon Holmes has a portrait that we put in the mag last season of him on Fergie's shoulder as if he's advising Fergie as a guru. Have you not seen this? All right, I'm going to put this when I tweet this.
You mean sitting on his shoulders? As in like,
he's acting like he's the manager. What did you think about that? So he has it on his main room. Eamon Holmes commissioned a portrait of him like overlooking Fergie. That's got to be weird.
Fucking hell, this is taking my, like, I'm actually, I've had a bad day at work, but I'm going away tomorrow on holiday.
I'm going to send it straight after this.
Like, I think I've actually got a very, very tight chest now. I can't contemplate. Like, that can't exist. Don't tell me that exists.
I'm going to put it on when I tweet this, and we put it in the mag. That says how much you read the fucking mag, Shay. That's my first swear word, isn't it?
Well, I usually do look at the pictures. In fairness,
that's what most people do. Did you know? Here's the thing. Do you know I learned that George Washington lost his teeth at an early age? So he used, amongst many things to have teeth, hippo teeth, was it wood, metal, copper, and elephant ivory? I mean, not all at once, but fucking hell.
So can I just, like, this is going off on a tangent?
We are on a tangent, yeah. This is what happens when we have no football.
So I just want to go back to, like, a minute ago, you ridiculed people that, like, monitor the weather and, like, get in the eye of the storms and face storms, yet you opened a podcast saying, I've got really smelly farts at the moment, and George Washington used hippo's teeth as false teeth. I just kind of got, like, this bit about changing the world. Like, your kind of perspective is a bit skewed there.
This is what No United does to me. I need to talk nonsense to your faces. I told Nathan and Nick the BBC documentary about, this is proper tangent, I don't know why I'm saying it, like, on Kabul Airport, and it was sad but really excellent, well done, and just depressing, but I don't know, that's what I've been doing, just doing not and reading. You know, I need a bit of growling and people coming up to me and aggressively shouting, fuck off, is it the programme, or shove it up your ass. Right, let's talk United. Is anyone confident?
I was at the, because I do, whenever it's international break, I do a couple of, go and photograph the games, like Scotland and Wales and stuff. Don't I? Scott McTominay, good again.
Did he play centre back?
Games. No, he was more like centre mid. Centre mid. He's looking good again. So
he has had, you know, like every one of them has looked decent. That he's the Casemiro. I think I hope he's lost a couple of pounds over the international break, because he looked out of fitness and top heavy in the Europa. But the league, I don't know. It's so weird, isn't it? A month off already, but the ones that
it was weird. It was going to be weird anyway, wasn't it, with the World Cup? But
yeah, but I like
to have this other break. It's just so disjointed,
as you can tell from this podcast.
Unless we're top of the league at the end, just void it.
But the Eriksen, his goal was brilliant for Denmark. You just think he's been. I'm sure Nick will. Defy this a little bit, but he's been everything that we hoped he would. Even the Southampton, some of going over that, some of the movement he was doing. I mean, that's how fact I was watching Southampton to get United fixed. Nick?
I'm not really top Eriksen rant with everybody, because it's not really much of a rant. I'm not anti Eriksen, but I wish people would calm down on him. He's not been that bloody good. Do you know what I mean? He's been all right. Like, let's just settle down. I think that we'll give him the benefit of the doubt just because of everything that's gone on. Settle down a little bit. Let him show up on the stat sheet. I'd like to see him start assisting more and contributing a little bit more. He's setting up some nice attacks. He's all right. I still don't think that was a foul at Arsenal, and I think he's very guilty of being a bit too slow sometimes in the midfield. So, I'm not displeased. I play him every week, but I do think people need to calm down. I think people are overreacting on him a tad.
No, but we did say he can get tackled quite easily in the middle. That's happened a couple of times in Arsenal and at Brentford for their goal. And we've all agreed he should be coming off after 60 or 7 minutes. But we've got someone who's looking up. Bruno has now got a bit more creativity around him, so has stepped up as well. So the positives, before it was shunted, we had a lot. After such a dreadful 6 months, we've had a bit of a buzz. And he's looked, you know, I'm not saying 10 out of 10, but that's what, we don't even have to, doesn't have to be, you know, like this to that. Just, I don't know.
It's just, I think it's more to, like, I kind of get your point, Nick, in the sense that it's not, like, amazing, but he's given, which we talked about before, which we hoped, and it's proved true so far, to me at least anyway, that he's given a bit more stability and shape that's enabled, like Bruno is a bit haphazard, but he's enabled, he's afforded Bruno to bring out the best in Bruno, whereas before Bruno was trying to do too much and he was chasing back and randomly kind of giving possession away, whereas Eriksen's taken some of that load off of him and he just, so I think it's not as much as what Eriksen does, it's what he enables other players to do, and I think that's to me the big win of him being in the team.
Yeah, which is fair enough, but I think people making him out to be the second coming of Jesus Christ, that's what
I don't think anyone's.
That's slightly.
I think it's a sad indictment of where we are as a midfield that people are eulogising about him the way. And I think he's been excellent, but he deserves all the credit for simply breaking up the McFred partnership. I mean, you know, at least we don't have to watch them two play together again.
But again, it's not rockets.
I thought he's done really well, and I know he's a bit slow and he can get caught with the ball occasionally, but. He's the first player we've had for many seasons that can actually pick a pass going forward. And we've not had anybody like that for I don't know how many years.
But it's not rocket science. Get rid of McFred. Get better players, creative players. And also, don't have...
We've been saying that for
years. The one thing we were saying with Maguire, even when he was on more consistency, was he can be slow. He gets turned very easily. You know, you forget... I'm sure we're only a few injuries away from Lindelof coming back, but hopefully, like Martinez looks, even if when we have the downtimes with him, he looks like he's a bastard. So he's not going to get done over like we're getting repeatedly. You know, like
the Maguire thing, we have been over it, but it's like I could sort of understand why he was still getting picked for England because like we have this out with Wazza the other day in the group, didn't we? It's like. Up until the other night, he's done all right for England. He's like he's done a job for Southgate, and I know that Southgate said when he first came in that he was going to pick people based on form. But obviously that went out the window because he didn't do that. But he was doing a job. Whenever he was being called up for England, he was doing the job. So it was sort of like you can't drop him until he's done something wrong. And it's like, but. His head's gone on it, and like you said, like about feeling sorry for him, and I fought it for a while. It's just like he needs something to happen to get him out of that situation because, like, it wasn't his fault that he cost as much as we paid. That's our fault. He wasn't worth that, and we have put that burden onto him. I think at the time, like we said this the other day, like. Giving him the captaincy, I know that in the end it was too much, but at the time, realistically, we had no one else that was... Like, I know that he's not captain material, but I think that was the point of at the time. There was no one that was captain material. And that's more of a... Like we're saying, that's more of a damning indictment of us at the time that he did get it. And I just think it's best for him and for everyone that... That something needs to happen, and I think whether he goes out on loan or we're not going to be able to sell him for a lot, but I think it's just they need to just cut the losses and let him go for his sake as much as for anyone else.
Yeah, but the best thing that could happen for him won't is him missing the World Cup. You know, like he needs out now. I cannot see him redeeming himself in Qatar.
Part of you would hope as a human being that he just. Says I can't do it and says he don't want to go because I think that's the best for him.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like,
the thing is,
that's not going to happen, is it?
No,
Maguire would look better in that United team now because their midfield is defensively better. So he will get the protection that he's not had previously. So he would actually, I'm not suggesting he play him, but he would actually look better. Than he has done in the last couple of seasons.
Well,
he's got the
protection. He said, obviously Brentford, him and Martinez had never played. So it was like the one, like Varane's been good. If Varane got injured, I'd be interested, maybe through fingers behind the sofa, to see how Maguire and him did. But you can sort of see why Bally had his thing that, repeated people kept putting Maguire in when, and I know Bally could scare us to death. Right, is anyone confident for Sunday?
Yeah, I think just one last thing on Maguire. Yeah. I do echo that. I feel like I've always felt he's not worth his price tag and he's not quite good enough. But as people make out, but that's not his fault that he was paid that money. But we do have to remember that he played week in week out for a really like he kind of he never went hiding and he always played for a really shit spell for United, and sometimes was the one that was committed and making an effort. So I don't think he's necessarily good enough, but I also think he's been treated badly. It's one of those cycles that, you know, being exposed, like Coggy says, it dented his confidence. He was made a bit of a scapegoat by our own support, let alone others. And then now his confidence is shot. So when he does come in, he's like treading on eggshells. So I think he would probably do pretty well at a club like he was at Leicester, where he's not going to get that microscopic, you know, focus week in, week out. But yeah, your thing about, I'm not as giddy as I was against Liverpool, but I think we've got a chance of getting a draw at City. If we've got that resilience and form that we had before the break. I know, like, City are, you know, particularly up front, are in formidable form, but I think we could get a draw there, yeah.
Anyone else?
I think we'll score. I think that, you know, City defensively haven't been particularly good this season, so I think we're capable of scoring a goal. And I think the key will be how we cope with Haaland. I think if we can nullify him in some way, and you know, maybe Martinez will be able to, I think we stand a chance. I don't think we'll win. I'm not even sure we'll get a draw, but we're capable of scoring a goal.
Martinez has before, hasn't he, in the Champions League, so let's hope that continues. Yeah. But there's a hope. I'm so happy it's back, you know, and like this run before the fucking debacle again, but I'm so glad it's back. Right, has anyone else? Oh, here's the thing. If you had a cricket sledge, so imagine you're playing cricket for England, what would your sledge be?
Who against her?
Say an Aussie. Say Warner.
Trying not to cry again. It was him who was crying. No, it was Smith, wasn't it, who was crying in his press conference. I don't know.
All right, Smith, you've said, all right, yours, Nick?
Oh, if it was David Warner, I'd be telling David Warner to keep his... I'd be like, don't give this lad a bat. Bloody hell, he'll go around and start knocking people out with it. Won't he?
I've got a great story about when I went... I'm not telling that story again.
He should be behind bars if he's going to have a bat swinging it around, that lad. Liability going around punching people in bars. I knew that bigger and smaller than him. Here we be.
Coggy?
He's a...
I'll just tell him to fuck off, the son of a convict.
Lane, I don't know why I asked this.
Why are you playing in Australia at the moment? I don't get it.
I had it in my notes about a year ago and I've just let scan through. It didn't even seem good at the time that I wrote it, God. Oh, Shane, save us.
I've got no contribution to
right.
this.
Let's say we need United back. Right, cheers. Please send your stories in, the great stories you've got for Mags thereafter. And thanks, everyone. And it will be good to see you. Have a safe trip, Nick. And if you meet a storm chaser, fuck them off. Right, see you later, lads.
And the family, you know, the Glazer family have proven that with Big Picture and with Super League, that they are willing to be very sinister and take English football. Well, they're willing to sink English football at the actual, at the sort of, if you like, well, for their benefit, if you like.
Yeah. Well, after the ESL last year, on June the 4th, 2021, Joel Glazer specifically mentioned you in a paragraph to the Fans Forum, where he said, I know Gary's been hard on us. Everyone has their views, but it's about listening and being heard. Did the club or did Joel Glazer make any contact with you after that point?
I've never spoken to Joel Glazer in my life. So I'll caveat that by saying, if Joel walked around the change room at the end of one of the victories of say an FA Cup final or a Champions League final, and I shook his hand and said, hi, are you okay? Which maybe the family did, I think, once or twice. I've never had a conversation with Joel Glazer in my life.
Were you surprised then the club didn't make contact after saying that in the Fans Forum?
No, I've not spoken to Joel Glazer ever in my life.
Did Richard Arnold make any contact? Did Richard Arnold or Ed Woodward make any contact?
I think that the executive of the club did make contact after Super League and said that, you know, they made a mistake. And said that, you know, they recognise that now, but as far as I was concerned, I said that was too late. And you know, what I have made clear, the executive at the time was that they needed to do five things, and I publicised those five things, Barney.
Yeah.
They are they need to basically remove the debt from the club, and that I think should mean selling that share, that portion of debt to the fans, and then basically leaving the money in the club. They should stop taking dividends for a 3 to 5 year period. They should commit to a new stadium, commit to a new sporting project, and commit to a new training centre. They were the five things that I said I thought that the club needed to do to recover from Super League that would show that there was a, that they were listening. Joel Glazer said that he was listening after Super League. He has not listened at all, because the things that actually, those five things, which I think are aligned with what probably the fans want, you know, ultimately, he's not delivered. He's not delivered on any of those five things. So I don't think they do listen. They just try to buy themselves time through potentially changing the manager or buying some players, win a football match here or there, like against Liverpool. There is now widespread recognition, even amongst the most, what would be, calm Manchester United fans, that the family do need now to hand over control. You know, when they first came into the club and we were successful, when I was a player there, I went along the lines of, you know, Martin Edwards, and the Edwards family weren't very popular. The PLC, yeah. When that went to, when we were PLC, that wasn't very popular at all. So the ownership of the club have always been unpopular, in my opinion. So when the Glazer family came in and we were successful, but they were unpopular, I sort of applied the same logic as I'd applied previously to the sort of, if you like, Edwards family and PLC situation. The reality of it is, after Sir Alex Ferguson and David Gills left the club, you know, they were obviously propping the Glazer family up.
Yeah.
And obviously now, the sort of, you know, the legs on the table have been basically taken away from them, and David Gill and Charles Ferguson with the legs on the table.
What did you make of him? You spent some time with him for the first time. What were your first impressions?
Very serious about football. Very serious character. These managers, to be honest with you, Barney, they're maniacs when it comes to the detail. I can imagine that guy spending 15, 16 hours a day in front of his analysis board, in front of his tactics board, in front of his, you know, with his coaching team. I can just imagine him being so obsessive about the detail of football, and so serious and focused. And that's what I found with him. You know, I think that when we interviewed him, we asked him difficult questions. But
yeah, you did. Yeah.
You know, me and Cara went in and we said, look, what do we do here? We've got Brentford 4-0. We've got the Cristiano Ronaldo situation. We've got the Glazer family situation. We've got the recruitment that's been crap. Mm-hmm. You know, what do we do? Do we talk to him about football and tactics and 4-4-2s and 4-3-3s and all that sort of stuff, the Dutch way of playing? Or do we do a bit of that and do we just say to him, well, we've just got to ask him about, you know, he must feel let down about recruitment. I thought he answered them all straight. I thought, to me, he came out of the interview really well, because he answered the difficult questions. And he also came to us after the game on Monday and spoke to us in the studio with me, Roy, and Cara there. Again, if, you know something, I always think of a manager, you know, if they front up and they show up and they're willing to speak, they're willing to answer the difficult questions, I always say fair play to them, because he was under massive pressure going to that Liverpool game and he delivered like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.